يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم إن الله كان عفوا غفورا.
Believers, do not draw near to the prayer while you are intoxicated, until you know what you are saying, nor when you are defiled, save when you are traveling, until you have washed yourselves. If you are either ill or traveling, or have satisfied a want of nature, or have had contact with women and can find no water, then betake yourselves to pure earth, passing with it lightly over your face and your hands. Surely, Allah is all relenting, all forgiving. Believers, do not draw near to the prayer while you are intoxicated. This is the second in the chronological sequence of injunctions concerning intoxicants. We have already come across the first injunction in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:219. Until you know what you are saying. What is required is that while praying, one should at least be conscious enough to know what one is uttering in the prayer. Nor when you are defiled. The term janaba denotes the state of major ritual impurity which results from the act of sexual intercourse or from seminal emission, ensuing either from sexual stimulation or from a wet dream. Until you have washed yourselves. A group of jurists and Quranic commentators interprets this verse to mean that one should not enter a mosque in the state of major ritual impurity, janaba, unless it be out of necessity. Another group thinks that the reference here is to travel. In the opinion of this group, if a traveler is in the state of major ritual impurity, he may resort to tayammum, for instance, symbolic ablution attained through wiping the hands and face with clean earth. If you are either ill or traveling, or have satisfied a want of nature, or have had contact with women. There is disagreement as to what is meant here by the verb lamastum. Several jurists are of the opinion that it signifies sexual intercourse. Abu Hanifa and his school follow this view. Contrary to this, some other jurists hold that it merely signifies the act of touching. This is the opinion adopted by Shafi. Malik is of the opinion that if a man and a woman touch each other with sexual desire, their ablution is nullified. He sees nothing objectionable, however, in the mere act of a man touching a woman's body or vice versa, provided the act is not motivated by sexual desire. And can find no water, then betake yourselves to pure earth, passing with it lightly over your face and your hands. The detailed rules of tayammum are as follows. A man who either needs to perform ablution or take a bath to attain the state of purity for ritual prayer may resort to tayammum provided water is not available to him. Permission to resort to tayammum rather than make ablution with water or take a bath is also extended to invalids whose health is likely to be harmed by the use of water.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ يَشْتَرُونَ الضَّلَالَةَ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن تَضِلُّوا السَّبِيلَ
Have you not seen those to whom a portion of the book was given? They purchased error for themselves and wish that you too lose the right way.
وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِأَعْدَائِكُمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا
Allah knows your enemies better, and Allah suffices as a protector, and Allah suffices as a helper.
من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلم عن مواضعه ويقولون سمعنا وعصينا واسمع غير مسمع وراعنا ليا بألسنتهم وطعنا في الدين ولو أنهم قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا واسمع وانظرنا لكان خيرا لهم وأقوم ولكن لعنهم الله بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا.
Among those who have become Jews, there are some who alter the words from their context and make a malicious play with their tongues and seek to revile the true faith. They say, "We have heard and we disobey." سَمِعْنَا وَأَسَيْنَا. Do hear us, may you turn dumb, isma ghair musma'in, and hearken to us, ra'ina. It would indeed have been better for them and more upright if they had said, "We have heard and we obey, sami'na wa atana," and "Do listen to us and look at us with kindness,
isma wa unzurna."
But Allah has cursed them because of their unbelief. Scarcely do they believe. Among those who have become Jews, there are some who alter the words from their context. This signifies three things. First, that they tampered with the text of the scripture. Second, that they misinterpreted the scripture and thereby distorted the meanings of the verses of the book. Third, they came and stayed in the company of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions, and listened to the conversations which took place there. Then went to other people and misreported what they had heard. They say, "We have heard and we disobey." سَمِعْنَا وَأَسَيْنَا. When God's commands are announced to such people, they loudly proclaim, "Yes, we heard." سَمِعْنَا. But then they whisper, "And we disobeyed." وَأَسَيْنَا. Or else they pronounce atana, "we obey," with such a twist of the tongue that it becomes indistinguishable from asena. Do hear us, may you turn dumb. Isma ghair musma'in.
Whenever they wanted to say something to the Prophet, peace be upon him, they would say, "Isma, listen," but they added to this the expression ghair musma'in, which had several meanings. It could either be a polite expression, meaning that he was worthy of such deep respect that one should say nothing to his dislike, or it could have a malicious implication, meaning that he did not deserve to be addressed by anybody. It also meant the imprecation, "May God turn you deaf."
And hearken to us, ra'ina.
When the Jews visited the Prophet, peace be upon him, they tried to vent their spite by using ambiguous expressions in their greetings and conversation. They used words which had double meanings, one innocent and the other offensive. The particular expression referred to here, which the Muslims were asked to avoid using since it lent itself to abuse, was employed by the Jews when they conversed with the Prophet, peace be upon him. Whenever they wanted to request a short pause in which to finish whatever they wanted to say, they used the expression ra'ina, which meant "kindly indulge us" or "kindly lend your ear to us." It is, however, because of the possibility of the word also being used in other meanings, some of which were evil and irreverential, that Muslims were asked to avoid it, and to use instead the straightforward expression "anzurna," meaning "kindly favor us with your attention" or "kindly grant us a moment to follow what you are saying."
يا أيها الذين أوتوا الكتاب آمنوا بما نزلنا مصدقا لما معكم من قبل أن نطمس وجوها فنردها على أدبارها أو نلعنهم كما لعنا أصحاب السبت وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا
O you who have been granted the book, do believe in what we have now revealed, which confirms the revelation which you already possess. Do this before we alter countenances, turning them backwards, or lay a curse upon them as we curse the Sabbath men. Bear in mind that Allah's command is done.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا
Surely, Allah does not forgive that a partner be ascribed to Him. Although he forgives any other sins for whomever he wills, he who associates anyone with Allah in his divinity has indeed forged a mighty lie and committed an awesome sin.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا
Have you not seen those who boast of their righteousness, even though it is Allah who grants righteousness to whomsoever He wills? They are not wronged, even as much as the husk of a date stone, if they are not granted righteousness.
انظر كيف يفترون على الله الكذب وكفى به إثما مبينا
See how they forge lies about Allah. This in itself is a manifest sin.